Our scripture reading for this morning is found in the Gospel according to John. It relates Jesus' final words to his disciples. We'll be reading verses 13 through 23. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have joy complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth, for your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so have I sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. I ask, not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, so that they may be one, as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may become completely one, that so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. The word of the Lord. Please be seated. Our scripture reading was one of those passages that it takes a little bit of time to decipher all the little words. There's a lot of yous and me's and us's and them's, and sometimes it's hard to unpack all of that. It's the final prayer of Jesus, at least the final lengthy prayer of Jesus. And Jesus is praying for his disciples, these people that he is planning on giving the trust of the gospel to. And I find it so interesting that the prayer seems to be all about community, all about who they are together. It made me think of one of my favorite places in the entire world, New York City. I love New York City. Now, some of you in this room are saying, I've got nothing for New York City. They can keep all of that over there. I love it. In fact, one of the reasons why I moved here to begin with was to be close to New York City. I was looking for churches, places to serve in the city, and then I saw this place in New Jersey, and I was like, well, I've never been to New Jersey before. Let's check that out. And well, 20 years ago, I came to New Jersey, and New Jersey has this way of holding on to you, and so I've been here ever since, but trying to get to New York City every opportunity that I can. One of my favorite things to do is just get lost in the city. It's harder to do as you become more familiar with a place. I love knowing the best little coffee shops in an out-of-the-way little street. I love knowing where there's great music for cheap. You know, places that say, hey, free music every Thursday night, free jazz. There's this place called Jules Jazz Club on St. Mark's Place. You can just walk in and there's live jazz and you don't have to pay for it. It's amazing. There's even a place that is a real working coffee shop all through the day, but then at night, you go to the back that looks like an employee's entrance and you knock on the door and it opens up to a 1920s speakeasy called Bathtub Gin. Pretty cool. Really cool. I love New York City. But I was thinking about New York Because again, not everybody enjoys it. People look at it and say it's crowded, it's busy, it's expensive. People are just falling all over each other. And what is that smell? And why can't I get from here to four blocks north without hours of my time and tens of dollars or 20s or 50s? Why, if I just bring my car in, do I have to pay $55 to park for an hour? That was more than the tickets I just paid for. But we know it's really not, because you just paid $120 for a ticket, right? And people think, why would I ever go to New York? It's a big question of why. The question of why that applies to cities in general. But it's all stuff I love. I love the grit. I love the crowds. I love the smells, even the weird ones. I love all of it. Because, see, cities are groups of people that come together because they believe that together they are better than they would be apart. People move to New York City because they want to be a part of the Big Apple. They say, if I can make it there, I can
make it anywhere.
Absolutely. New York, New York. The city's so nice they named it twice. It's something that we choose to do, to say we want to gather together and we want to stack ourselves on top of each other, and we're willing to sacrifice whatever it means, our space, our money, our time, in order to be part of something great. Whenever I move or I'm in cities, I always think everyone here has at least one thing to contribute. Not everybody does, but at least everybody has something that they contribute. And when they gather together, they contribute their small part in order to make the whole something bigger. And no contributor is any more valuable than the other. But I think about what cities are together. As you think about cities, you usually think about them as known for something. Now, I was talking about New York, but think about Philadelphia, right? Philadelphia as the seat of Liberty, cheesesteaks, and Rocky Balboa. Which I found as I ran up, I didn't run up the art stairs. I walked up the art stairs, the art museum stairs, let's be honest. As I got to the top, they have little footprints of Rocky's feet, of Sylvester. So I put my foot, I'm exactly the same size. So basically, me and Rocky were like the same. You think about Philadelphia that way. Think about Los Angeles. You think about Hollywood and celebrity and movie magic. It's something that city is known for. Memphis, the birthplace of rock and roll and the blues and really good barbecue. St. Louis, where I'm from, well, I'll just say it, known for Anheuser-Busch breweries and a giant arch, ragtime, something that it's known for. You know, cities are known for things that people gather together and do collectively. New York City, of course, is just known for everything. It's the center of the known universe. But yet, it requires lots of individuals who gather together and contribute something great. Because a city is only as great as its city's people. Everyone playing a part. None being more vital than the other. You know, think about it this way. We go back to New York City. The mayor is no more important, no more valuable if the rookie cop doesn't do her job, or the city worker who's laying miles of cable decides to take the day off. Who hears about it? Well, the mayor does. The Wall Street trader is fueled by the barista who gets up before dawn and makes sure that their double red-eye latte espresso with soy milk is ready. We are all valuable and we all play a role. And whenever cities struggle, it's because we see the over-exaggerated self-indulgence, the self-importance that seems to permeate people's lives. That's the thing that creates inequality, injustice, division, and unrest. Because we forget that what makes us great is not one lone individual, but our greatness is something that we do together. I couldn't help but think about it as we consider who we are together as the church. This final prayer of Jesus is not one where Jesus is asking God to bless his followers individually. I'm sure that we all know what it is to be blessed by God as individuals. That is a real thing. I woke up this morning thinking about how blessed I am as a person, just me, to be able to participate in what I get to participate in. I got to get up this morning and come over here and do this with you. We are individually blessed. But the prayer of Jesus is not about that. The prayer of Jesus is about who we are together. That's why it seems so confusing. Jesus is talking to God and saying, just as you and I are so unified, as you and I are together, we act as one person, I'm going to ask that all of them start to act as one person, that they find not independence, but interdependence. We celebrate this weekend. We celebrate our independence, and it is something that we are grateful for. We are not dependent on a foreign power, but yet the reality is we are interdependent, aren't we? We cannot be a nation of people who see themselves as completely separated from those around us. We cannot do that, because otherwise we would not survive. We have to act as one. And I think it's so important in this time of such division and such separation of peoples and ideas that we forget that when we are divided, we fall. But when we are together acting as one, we find ourselves strong. And so Jesus says, just as we are one, we ask that they are one. And then when they are one, that they will be one with you and with I, so that as we walk through this world together, that they will see fully the grace of God. Jesus asks that we will find the grace to walk as one, not so that the church can just be great, so that the church can show off God. Because that's always the goal. You realize that we are the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And another place says, oh, and by the way, that's you too. We are the physical demonstration of who God is in the world. That is weighty and important. And if we do not gather together on a regular basis, not just for whatever happens up here, but to gather together, to be with one another, to unite with one another, we find ourselves divided. So I want to give you an advance warning. I'm about to use a sports analogy. I know. And those of you who just laughed know me well. I'm not a big sports guy. I should say, anymore. When I was living in Chicago during the 1990s, you could not help but be a Chicago Bulls fan. And I was a Chicago Bulls fan. I still have a Chicago Bulls blanket in my house that my kids use. They have all six championships during the course of the 90s that are on there. And of course, most people consider, when they think about the Chicago Bulls in the 1990s, any sports fans out there, think of Michael Jordan. Yeah, thank you. You think of Michael Jordan. Because Michael Jordan, of course, the single greatest basketball player of all time. I'm just going to say it. He was. I still, at this day, wouldn't play one-on-one with Michael Jordan. I don't care how old he is. I would be embarrassed. Michael Jordan, most people think of, when they think of the Chicago Bulls in the 1990s, they think about Michael Jordan. I'm not going to go into the long history, but certainly Michael Jordan was this massive contributor to the three championships with Chicago Bulls. But then Michael Jordan, after the third championship, retired and went to baseball. And you know what? He was terrible. Really, really bad. To the point that other teams were actually trying to help him out, because he was so respected in the sports world that they were kind of taking it easy on him. And he was just so bad. So bad, he returned to basketball about a year or so later. Rejoined the Chicago Bulls, and after a year was able to take them to three more championships. And then retired again. bought a team called the Washington Wizards and decided to start playing. Because after all, he was Michael Jordan. And is going to take this team to the next level. You know what? That team barely cracked the bottom. Because here's the reality. Michael Jordan, who is one of the greatest basketball players of all time, was not the Chicago Bulls. The Chicago Bulls was a team. And it was a team of people that had different gifts and different abilities and was united around a coach, Phil Jackson, who taught them how to be a team. And they were always a great team. Because a championship is not built on one individual. A championship is based on a team that is working together for a common cause with a coach who knows each player and works for the greater good. That was my sports analogy. Enjoy it. It's done now. But the church is like that. The church is not one individual superstar that comes together who says, wow, we've got a great children's person, or we've got a great pastor, or we've got a great this, or we've got a great that. No, the church is a group of people that come together, every single person, with gifts, because we are better together. I think about Vacation Bible School. Vacation Bible School was wonderful, and I received a great deal of praise after Vacation Bible School because I was the guy up front. But every time that I receive some praise, I say, I have to tell you, this was not me doing this. This was a group of people that came together to make this great. And we can ride. Wilson has a wonderful reputation based on Vacation Bible School. But if it was just Vacation Bible School, that wouldn't be enough to talk about how great this church really is. This church is made up of lots of individual ministries that all come together to create something pretty amazing for Wachung. But then it's not just Wilson. Because see, if it was just Wilson, who was a great church, and we didn't recognize the other churches around us, we would just be this place up on the hill. But we are a part of the greater mission of God. We are partners with every single church that we pass. Whether we agree or disagree, we are part of their community. Some see church as an individual assist to their spiritual life. You know, they come in, get up on a Sunday morning and get dressed and find their grace for the week and then leave. But thankfully, there are others who don't see themselves as coming to church, but see themselves as the church. People walk into this room, that room, all the time and say, what a beautiful church. And you know what they mean? They mean the building. What I would love to see is that people walk into Wilson and they say, what a beautiful church. And they mean our people. Because I think we have the opportunity to do that. We have the opportunity for people to walk in and say, what a beautiful church. Because these are people that work together for a common love. These are people where no one is more important than the other, that everyone has something to contribute, and that everyone brings their gifts to the table and says, I want to work to make this place all that God has called us to be, so that we can take our space in the large mission of God. Not so people can look and say, what a beautiful church, but they can look and say, what a great God. I'll leave you with this. Growing up in Missouri, and there's a few of these around here, but it seemed like every little church loved to put pithy sayings on signs outside. One of the ones that was the most memorable, and I've seen it come around every once in a while, is the word C-H-R-C-H. Have you seen that? You know the one I'm talking about? It just says C-H space R-C-H, and it says, you can't spell church without you. Yeah, you know that one. She's from the South, too. You can't spell church without you. And that's a funny way of saying, we aren't church without you. And it's true. God has gifted us individually, not for our own independence, but for our own interdependence. May God give us the grace to move forward together. Amen. Mm-hmm.